everybody.
Hi, Kathy.
Welcome to our wonderful weekly meeting here at Wings Christian Fellowship, the adult discussion, Sunday school class. And this is your opportunity to just hang with us for about an hour and talk about the goodness of God and the land of the living.
Amen.
Yeah.
We just love to lift him up and talk about how great he is, how he's blessed us beyond compare. Debbie, will you start us off with a word of prayer?
Sure. Father, we acknowledge you this morning in our presence, in our bodies. We just thank you for calling us. Lord, bless Kathy as she brings forth the lesson and let us take it to heart. If we're still in chapter 13, that would be easy. We love you. We love each other, and we just thank you for this day. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I think we still are in 13. Yes. 13 is a very small, short chapter, and we read it, but oh my goodness, the little gems that are in there. We could probably talk about it for another month or two, and who knows, knowing us, we just might, right? So, let's see. We're going to just bring another buddy today. Buddy?
Yeah.
It's you? Go ahead and read
it. Buddy knows his turn.
Buddy's going to read it in the Amplified, and are you going to read the entire chapter? Let's do half. Let's do half.
We stopped at eight.
Eight? Okay, good deal.
Love never fails, never fades out or become obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and passed away. As for tongues, and they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and become and be superseded by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void of superseded. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or a enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we will see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And so faith, hope, love, abide, faith, conviction, and belief, respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectations of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Well, there was one little phrase or something that you said in there that really struck me, but now I've forgotten it, so we're a deep doo-doo. It was something about that which is imperfect, and I thought to myself, we ought to think about that in terms of us. Do you see something in there that says, it was talking about when that which is imperfect is...
It's verse 9.
Verse 9,
buddy, she's talking about.
Yeah, for our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect.
Yeah.
And our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect.
Yeah.
Do you know, I shared this before, that before when Betty's mind was getting unclear, she kept trying to share with us and talk about complete, and I know God was speaking to her about completeness, because she kept saying this, you know, to us, you know, me and Sue, and because we'd already share on our way down here. She used that scripture she reads. We always shared, we got together, coming down. Jim used to say, here they come, they already done had church before they got to Jesus when we come in, and it wouldn't be like that for new things and speak. Mm-hmm. But I know that God was speaking something to her that she couldn't really clearly get, but she just kept saying complete, just kept saying complete, and we are complete in Him. We are in Him.
Yep. That's the thing, He's the only thing that completes us.
Oh,
everything else in life that we try to bring into our life thinking, oh, if I only had this or if I only had that, you know what I mean? If I only had a new car or a new house or this or that, very temporal things and very temporary, and that nothing completes you except for the Lord. That's the only thing that can complete you.
Well, this was in 13:9-10.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Mm-hmm. And I thought of that in relation to our own being, each one of us, you know, not in the world so much, but in our own personalities and in our own way of looking at things, when that which is in part will be done away with. Because when we see Him as He is, well, how is He? How is He?
Perfect.
Complete.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Complete.
Perfect. And where is He? He's in us.
Yeah.
He is, and He is one with the Father. He is one with us. And doesn't that kind of, in reality, make us all one with each other?
Yes.
And that's why when one cries, we all cry. When one is joyful, we all are joyful. And when, and it also reminds me of that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And what, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And that's going to happen. It's not something that, you know, and it's not even something that we strive for. It's something we allow to come to us because what God has ordained from the beginning. I mean, that's His plan, isn't it? But
yeah, I was thinking the only completeness, I believe the completeness He's talking about is the eternal completeness. It's never the temporary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the temporary, you know, with the breath, it's gone. You know, He said vanity, it's gone. But mm-hmm. the completeness in God is the eternal purpose of which He has brought us together. See, we even know, now we talk about ourselves, but you know what? It goes way beyond these walls and beyond other vehicles of churches and buildings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It goes to the salvation is of the Lord and His salvation, because He did a perfect work at Calvary, was for all men.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think there's a greater hope than what, I mean, I know He's our great reward, but I think there's a greater hope than we can even sometimes comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
He's
true.
Dealing with the things that we think, oh, how could they be like that? Mm-hmm. Well, in God, because I think He wants us to see that, but when you said strangely dim, I think actually that's a purpose of God to be strangely dim, because we no longer look for that thing to be the light. We no longer look for that thing to be eternal. We now look, it's becoming, that part is becoming dim. But we're having a new thing that we see in Christ Jesus. We're seeing in Christ Jesus. And I think that's pleasing to the Father. I mean, that's really exciting.
We've been purging at the house, and so many times I've thought to myself, you got too much stuff, it's just taking up your space and occupying your mind, get rid of it, you know? And it's the same in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm. We're Yeah, okay.
You still live there?
Remember, oh my God.
She used to get away.
No, I've got some. Why did I keep this? What purpose was this? What was,
We have storage bins. You get them down and look in there and go, oh yeah. I forgot that was in there. Yeah.
You know, what you were saying, Kathy, about, you know, perfection before, you know, and I said this last week, I believe, but in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it talks about that we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the unity of the Spirit has to be in here first. And then it goes on in that fourth chapter, and it talks to you about, literally about, you know, about the ministries that were given, some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, see, unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And, you know, we have to come into the unity of the faith. He's telling us to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, that's what we're to be doing right now. But when the body of Christ comes into the unity of the faith, in other words, to where they're functioning in faith, and the working definition God gave me for faith is believing in the truthfulness of God. In other words, everything that God speaks to your heart, you take it as the truth, because He is the truth, you know. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So when you talk about us coming into the unity of the faith unto a really mature man, you know, let me read it to you. It says, for the perfecting, this is about the ministries here. Not, he gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. A lot of people in this day and age are trying to do away with the fivefold ministry. Well, you can't really do away with the fivefold ministry, because the fivefold ministry is the ministry that's going to help edify you, to bring you up to the fullness. You know, a lot of people are slipping out, getting off on their own, and they're not going in, you know, not gathering together with people, doing all this stuff. I'll tell you what, I don't agree with that. I think that's not really, if God's telling you to do that, you should do it. But I don't think that's a great thing, because you need these ministries to help bring you into a place of being edified. And what does edified mean? Literally, it literally means built up.
Right.
Basically, it's to build you up. And if you read in the Amplified, it's to build you up that you might go out and do the work of the ministry, yes. Not those ministries. See, and that's where the church has had it all backwards. They think that the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers are the ones that are supposed to be doing all the work of the ministry. No, they're supposed to be building you up that you can go out and do the work of the ministry, see? And it brings it out real clear in the Amplified, in the fourth chapter, if you read it there. Let me find it here. It says, in verse 11, it says, and he gave gifts varied. He himself appointed and gave some men, some apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do. They should do the work of the ministering toward building up the body of Christ, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in faith, in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at a really mature manhood, the completeness of the personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ. That's pretty strong, ain't it? But if you look back in Corinthians, where we're at, and it tells you about the word perfect there. If you look that up in Strong's, it will also say a full-aged man. And isn't that what he wants us to grow up into, a full-aged man in Christ? that we might grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. But we have to come into the unity. We're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's your unity with the Spirit of God by being obedient to what He tells you to do, and seeking His face and stuff like that, until we come into the unity of the faith.
Yes.
And when we come into the unity of the faith, all of a sudden there isn't going to be 19 different versions of the gospel out there. Mm-hmm. There ain't going to be 19 different people saying, well, you can't speak in tongues, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do something else.
You gotta fly away.
It's all, you know, it ain't no wonder the world don't believe. Uh-huh. I mean, why should they believe? They're hearing so many different things, and this one's coming against that one, and that one's coming against that one, and, you know, and it ain't no wonder the world don't believe, you know. There's no unity of the faith, of the faith.
You know, I was going to say, and this, I believe this is why we have so many different faiths, mm-hmm. is because people want separation. They don't want to come under, to be honest with you, they don't want to come under correction. Yeah. We should know that the Holy Ghost does the best correction of anyone. It establishes. But in J.B. Phillips, in Ephesians, it says, His gifts unto men were varied. Some He made His messengers, some prophets, some preachers of the gospel. To some, He gave the power to guide and to teach His people. Mm-hmm. His gifts were made. Now, this is very important we hear this. That Christians might be properly equipped for the service.
And their gifts.
That the whole body, that's what He's teaching me. He said the whole body, not the individual, but the whole body. Until you come in subjection to that, to where we're subject one to another. A lot of people don't like that. Matter of fact, most of the people that don't attend a church, this is one of the main reasons they don't. And anyway, it says the whole body might be built up until the time comes when the unity of the common faith and common knowledge of the Son of God, we arrive at real maturity. That measures of the development which is meant by the fullness of Christ. We're not talking about part here. We're talking about complete. I mean, the thing is that when we come here, we want to gather in His name. First thing, we all want to gather in His name. Why? Because that guarantees that where two or more are gathered in My name, the rest of that scripture is fulfilled. He's in the midst. Now, when we learn something, I think it is very, well, importance. It's one of the premier importance that when we gather in His name, that we realize that scripture is being fulfilled. And we're being fine-tuned through the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. that we're hearing the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're hearing, He said, He would that you would be one. Mm-hmm. And He said, who? Him that is one with the Lord is what?
One Spirit.
One Spirit. Now, we came in here this morning, there's seven of us in here. We came in here this morning, and we came in as seven individuals. But in the midst of teaching and coming to agreement that we gathered in His name, there's a oneness that we come into. Yes. No longer. I mean, we got seven individuals, but we don't concentrate on the temporary. We concentrate on the eternal. Mm-hmm. And this is what the scripture says, that we come into the maturity, the fullness. Well, there's so many people, and I know He knows it. There's so many people, especially people. I hate the word deep truth, but the deeper truth people. A lot of times they think they have much more than all of us. But I want to tell you, I agree with Oscar because I've said it to people. I would much rather have the things that I know go away, and take the things I don't know. But you know what? We get to know the oneness of the Spirit, and that should be really exciting for the classes and for the churches, that when they gather in that atmosphere, His oneness is supreme. And a lot of things happen in order then, because He's a God of order. Anyway.
I think when we come together, too, I was talking to my granddaughter, too, that each of us, God has given a revelation of himself.
Right.
And it's sometimes in different degrees. You have to admit that, in different, you know, degrees. But I think no matter where we are or what he's given, that we are open to receive of him from our brothers and sisters, because the different ones, because God is so multifaceted, makes up a whole. And it just, I want to share this poem. God gave me this poem. This is written back in 2013. And it was a meeting, and they wanted me to share, and God gave me this poem. And it's Christ, our source and life. There's a fire that burns within that I cannot contain. It flows forth from within me like the blessed latter rain. It burns up all the stubble and all the hay. Yes, my Lord is the potter, and I am the clay. He's cleansing, purifying, and making me whole. A process that's changing my very being and my soul. Don't you love our Lord and Savior who died for us upon that cross, ridding us of all sin and paying the full cost? Now he's risen and bringing forth new life within. And now we are forgiven and delivered from all sin. He is joining us together and making us all as one, victorious overcomers in the very image of Jesus, God's Son. For we are members of one another. Mm-hmm. We are crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. And nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. Christ in us, the very hope of glory.
Very good.
He gave me the scripture down here in Ephesians 4:25, Galatians 2:20, and Colossians 1:26. But I tell you, it was just, you know, and I just get excited, you know, when you get alone with God and you just spend the time with him and his very presence. But to me, it's even greater as we come together. Share one another of him.
You know, that's why it's just going around and around in my mind, this thing of when you go off on your own and you leave the body, and, you know, for whatever reason, unless, if you know, God telling you, yes, I want you to do that, and for a season, you know, I know in my own life, if I'm left to my own devices and to think the thoughts that I think, I can go off. I don't even know where I would end up. But there's something about coming back together again.
Right.
And we talk about speaking the truth in love. That's what happens here. And speaking the truth in love is something that usually we think of, you say right before you just give somebody hell, right? Well, I'm speaking the truth in love, brother. You know, you've been wrong. But thank you, Claude. But there's something so joyful about coming back together. You like one would set 10,000 to flight, and two, it's exponential. And there's a joy when we come together. There is a confirmation of your beliefs.
Right.
When we come together, it's exponential. And if there was, you know, when someone speaks the truth and you receive it in love, and then it just brings you back. You know, to never forget Christ and the cross, to do, you know, and whatever foundation you're on, to grow from that.
Right.
Christ and him crucified. And then, you know, it draws you back, and it's not in, it's in a remembrance. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It's so simple. It's so easy. Okay, bye.
I was thinking that, you know, I hope one of the most important things we've ever learned in our lives, and I'm talking about the eternal life, And so we can't come complete to completion without one another.
Amen.
And I mean, there's a heavenly host that have already gone, but yet they come back and surround us. We're surrounded with that heavenly host. When's that surroundedness happen? It happens when we gather in His name. When He gathers in His name, they go like, they're already, there's something going to happen here. I mean, can you anticipate with gladness the fact that they're going, oh, this is going to be good? Because they know His presence is indwelling among the body, and that body's purpose is that we would see Jesus and be one. See, I think it's ultimately important that, because I was thinking about, you know, for a season that you would leave and stuff like that. But do you know that season? You're right. That season you can go into a closet and you can have His presence and stuff like that. But then within the time that you're writing, because there comes a time in their life where they're unsure of this is what to do, and said, and they'll probably start crying out, Jesus, where are you? And I tell you what, we need to be broken vessels. We need to be humbled. And God knows exactly how to do that. Would He would say, how many of those people that have left would say, when Jesus says, you need to go back?
A lot of times, will that particular person let their pride keep them from going back?
That was, you know, what I was saying.
Well, the last thing shall be destroyed, what? Pride of life.
Right. And you know, it's one of those things to where, you know, if God's given you deep insights and things into things, and you're not really sharing them nowhere, aren't you taking that treasure and burying it? You know, if you're not really sharing it out anywhere, you know.
Well, I heard, I think it was you that said this. Why aren't you doing this with me, Lord? Why aren't you doing this? He said, because you're not sharing.
Well, yeah, at one time that was right. With poems, he did. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know what? And then you know what I told him when he said that to me? I said, well, then I'll share, Lord. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for me to start sharing poems, you know, because, I wasn't one of the elders at that point. You know, I was just a very young Christian, you know, but he'd start giving me that poems right away. And when I said that, then what happened? I go to camp the first year I ever went to camp, and what was Bob? Kathy Wright.
Kathy Wright.
Yeah, they were having a thing, and she said, "We're going to have a sharing night, Oscar. You got something you can share." And I said, "No." And right away, the Lord said, "Oh yes, you do."
I love it.
And I said, "Well, I said, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. And I shared that poem. I think I shared the poem about struggle. He'd given me the poem. Actually, it was a poem about struggle. Mm-hmm. He'd already given me a few other poems. But that one was, I was going through some struggles. We were trying to buy a house and had lived in it for years. And all of a sudden, everything starts backing up in the basement right when we're ready to buy it, you know. And we left and went to camp with stuff in the floor because everything I tried to do made it worse, you know. And I didn't want to spend the money. And finally, I finally did get a plumber, and he went over to another place in the house from where I'd been trying to clean it out. He knocked a hole in the pipe and went down through there. And he told me, he said, I could roll softballs through your thing all day and they'd never get stuck. He said, you got bigger pipes than what's normal in a house. You know, my house was like 100 years old or something like that. And he said, you know, but what it was Jennifer, I hate to say this, but she was putting sanitary napkins down the toilet, and they got hung up. And that'll do it. And, you know, but the Lord was giving me that poem at that same time. And here I'd start down the steps to work on that thing. And then the Lord would start running that poem over in my head. You know, why do you struggle? Why do you fret? All you accomplish is get upset. You know, when everything seemed to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. Truly to praise me, all these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. As you look on the problem below, I'll give you the strength and the wisdom to know. as surely I hold you in the palm of my hand, and that nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. Well, okay, it was part of his plan that that thing clogged up.
Charles and, loved that poem. He had it up his wall.
And I shared that, and Kathy said, she says, Oscar, whenever you share a poem, she said, when you share a poem, she says, I hear music in my head. I said, she said, would you mind if I ever put music to some of your poems? I said, no. Matthew asked me that one time too. I said, no, I don't mind. It don't belong to me. It belongs to God. He gave it to me. And then, you know, I've had people say, well, you should copyright them poems. You should. I've never copyrighted them because they don't belong to me. They belong to God. He gave those poems, you know. And, you know, but anyway, a lot of times when you're dealing with stuff, it's like God lets you get in situations to where you get tried in what he just gave you. And if you don't share that stuff, and he basically told me, he said, I'm standing at work. I started writing that poem. I got about the first line of it, and then it cut completely off. And I knew that was strange because usually when he starts giving it to me, it'll go in flow, and you know that.
Yeah.
It usually goes right in a flow, and it just cut it off. And I was standing there, and I was working, and I said, Lord. And the Lord used to talk to me more when I was working than he did when I was praying most of the time. And I'm standing there working, and I said, well, Lord, why did you cut that off? And I felt like he said, because you're not sharing. And I thought, okay. And I said, well, Lord, if it's because I'm not sharing, I'll share. And then not only that, but I went on a Wednesday night to a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I had never taught an adult Sunday school class before. And Brother Shepherd's sitting there, and he looks over at me, and he says, Oscar, he says, I'm going to be gone Sunday. Will you take my Sunday school class? And I'm thinking, man, I can't take him Sunday school class. What am I going to do? You know, Brother Shepherd, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I can't take his Sunday school class. And I my first inclination was to say no, and I didn't say no. And I felt like the Lord said, didn't you tell me when I opened the door you're going to share, you're going to do? So I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, but that's the thing about, I can understand people going off and getting by themselves and letting the Lord speak. And there's times when he takes you away. I mean, I know that happens. But to just sit out on the mountaintop sometime, like Balaam did, that's not a good thing. Because Balaam heard from the Lord. The word that he shared was the word of the Lord, if you remember. And yet, what was he called later on? He was called a false prophet. Why? If he could look down on Israel and he could see that God was really moving on those people, why in the heck didn't he get down off the mountaintop and go down there and be part of them? You know? And let the Lord use him to prophesy in the midst of the people. You know?
He wanted him to curse them, and he couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't.
He wanted him
he to said, curse he told, he told,
he could not.
He told Balak, he says, I'll only say what the Lord tells me to say. You know? And he did. But yet, go up into the New Testament and what's it say about him? That he was a false prophet. Why? Because he wasn't part of the people.
No,
we've had some like that. You know who I'm talking about, right?
He died with those that he was with. Balak, and then he died with.
Yeah, and you know what Balak's name means? It means the waster. You know who the waster is, don't you?
Yes.
The waster's going to always try to get you to go against the things of the Lord, get you to go against the body of Christ. Always, you know.
I want to tell you that for 2 years, I'm not naming the church, there's a church where Betty and us, we went to, this has been what time back, and she had went to Michigan and spent time with Jan and Ron Shree, her sister-brother-in-law. That's where she met Brother Evie.
Yeah.
He was real close with them. He came to their house and everything. He came to town. Was real close with Jan and Ron. And the Lord put it on my heart, and I just could not go there anymore. I was a Sunday school teacher.
Right.
So I had to go talk to the minister, cried the whole time I was talking to him. But I had to because I had a responsibility, and I was leaving. So I had to tell, I used to assist the one woman in Sunday school, and then she's the one that her brother, Wilson, on the radio, and how found out about y'all down here. And so Then when I was, she said, you're more with this than I am. So she said, I'm going to assist you and you be the teacher, which, and I was just a baby, but God used me that way in teaching.
Right.
So when I talked to him and everything, and I can't tell you what all I said then, but and left, when Betty came up, she was still living out in the country with her mom and dad, because I come back to California. And she come up the drive, and I could see the glow on her face from sharing there with her brother and her sister, brother-in-law, and with Brother Evie. And when she came in, she was talking and sharing, you know, things that, that God had spoken to her. And I was letting her know that I was no longer going to be going there, that God put it on my heart, you know, not to. And when I said, how am I going to explain this to Charles? He goes to Sunday school, and because he was young then. And how am I going to explain this to him? And I bought all these books so that I could still do Sunday school with him, you know, and still. And when I started explaining we're not going to be going there anymore, and he said, why? And I said, well, God put it on my heart, and from now, we're not going to be going. He said, oh, yeah, just like when God called Abraham, he had this in a previous lesson, so he was open to it. Right. And so when my mom and dad went to church, Betty came out, and we, I already had did a lesson with him, and he'd go out and play with his friends, and then Betty and I would pray together. We were, we didn't go nowhere. It was 2 years that we went to, you know, different churches that we just shared and did like that meeting. Every time when God would really open things up to us, we would call up and talk to Jan on the phone. The very thing that God would give us and the scripture, her minister spoke that that morning. Right. So God was, you know, speaking and then began, but it was just for a time. But, and she had a key to the church because we had meetings with young people there. So she went and talked to the minister. Mm-hmm. And this, I feel like that if you're called out, you may not be able to explain fully why or what you're feeling. But I believe you have a respect and a responsibility and an honor that you speak to those that are in position. Like here would be like the board or, you know, and with the minister about your leaving, you know.
Right.
I feel that because we did, and I know.
I think that's right.
It is, and God told him, Betty said, that we have a responsibility, we had a responsibility there, but we have a responsibility under God and still under these that we had fellowship with and was there to share with them. Even if you can't explain fully what you're feeling or why you are, when you feel this call of God, I believe you have a responsibility unto the elders and those of what God has spoken to, about you leaving. You know, I just believe there's a way of doing that.
Just go along with what you're saying. I've had a few people, you know, leave since I've been involved with this. And I've had... I've had a couple of people tell me, you know, that they were leaving. Just tell me they were leaving and then go, you know what I mean? And I had one person tell me later on, well, I was surprised that you didn't try to talk me into staying. I said, look, I said, if you say that the Lord is telling you to leave, there's no way that I'm going to go against that. I said, if that's what God's telling you to do, that's exactly what you should do. And, you know, I've never tried to hold nobody in this church. I mean, you know, if they came and sought my counsel on it and said, hey, I'm thinking about leaving, you know, would you pray with me about this and everything, then I would do that. But when somebody comes and tells you, I'm leaving, and basically, this is going to be my last Sunday or whatever, then, you know, they don't leave you much room to do anything. And I had another person who had left years ago, a few years ago. They came back to visit. And they said, can I talk to you? And I said, well, sure. Mm-hmm. And they said, I just want to tell you that when I left, I didn't do it right.
Yes, amen.
And they said, I should have come to you and told you that I felt like the Lord wanted me to go somewhere else and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, sister, I said, it was a woman. I said, well, sister, I said, I only want the people in this church to do what the Lord's telling them to do. I said, I don't have no corner on hearing from God over anybody else. You know what I mean? If God's telling you to leave and you feel like that's what he wants you to do, I'm not going to tell you not to do that. But if you ask me to pray with you about it and everything, I'll pray. And then if the Lord tells me to tell you that you're making a mistake, I'll tell you that. You know, I'll tell you whatever I feel like he's telling me to tell you. But you know, it's kind of funny sometimes because, you know, a couple of people have left. I mean, they just left, pretty much told me, you know, I'm going to leave. Now, I'll have to say this. I sensed that they were going to leave mm-hmm. before it ever happened. Not the Lord let me know. I mean, mm-hmm. so I knew they were going to leave. But I was really kind of shocked that they did it in the way they did in that sense. So, you know, but I will never, and I'll say this, and I might have to eat these words, I will never try to talk somebody out of doing what they say the Lord is telling them to do unless the Lord tells me to talk them out of it, you know. And, you know.
Hey, can I say something? I want to say something about that lady. She had actually wanted to join another church.
Right.
I know the story.
Right.
And her pastor, her new pastor,
right.
said, well, did you leave the other church like in good standing or how you should have proper?
That's right.
And that's what brought her back to do it proper.
Yeah.
And that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's
right.
the word of God.
That's right.
And it's just like he's saying that, you know, and actually, I'll cry. Actually, when Oscar told her that he only wanted what was best for her, that the Lord would lead her, mm-hmm. he was actually just trading places with that other pastor because the pastor had her whole soul to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling her, he said, hey, I'll pray with you. And if that's what the Lord says, he said, I'll bless your going.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
Right.
We haven't had, well, I shouldn't say we. I'll tell you what, there's not a lot of pastors. I'm talking about true pastors that love the flock, that try to do what's right with people. But when the people, that's like you said, when people say that the Lord's leading them away, they'll never hear anything to change their mind. And when they do it at the last service they're at and they haven't told you before, they're almost making a clear path to leave.
They are. Well,
I'm being honest.
There's no, you know, it's. I had another situation too, where a particular sister came to me years ago. This was about 3 years ago, and I hate to take up all this class with this stuff, but she came to me and she said, you know, and she had been coming to church for a while, and she came and she said she'd like for the church to support her in her ministry. And I said, well, what's the ministry? She said, I've been invited to come into another ministry, and it's a street ministry, basically, what it partially was. And I would like for the church to pay my rent and my car payment and all this kind of stuff. No, wait a minute. Now this is the truth. And I basically sat her down with some of the other brothers, a couple of the other brothers. She came to the benevolent committee. I think it was me and Jim, I believe. And I sat her down and I said, well, sister, the other ministry, before they invited you into that ministry, should have sat down and counted the cost of you coming into that ministry and should have told the Lord, now, Lord, if you want this sister to come into this ministry, you have to supply the needs. You promised to supply your needs according to your riches and glory. And I said, now, we've helped you financially quite a few times. And I said, even since you've been gone, we've helped you a few times, you know, when you were in a bind. I said, but we're a really small church. And I said, we don't have the finances to be paying your rent, your car payments, and all that stuff. And I said, you didn't even come to the elders and ask us to pray with you about this thing, whether or not, you know, look, you should do this, or it didn't work out. You know, when she went there, she was there for a little bit, and it didn't work out. And you know, so many times people, because they're wanting to jump out into something, you know, and a lot of people will say, well, why aren't there miracles happening? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? You know, Gideon said the same thing to the Lord. He said, well, Lord, I've heard about all the wonderful things you used to do in the past, you know, but here all these enemies are coming down on us all the time, basically is what he said. And he said, where's all these miracles and stuff? But see, God was about ready to do something in Gideon's life. And Gideon was hiding in the wine press, and what did he do?
A great man about.
Hiding in the wine press, that's right. It's ironic that he had him in a press, because God gets you in a press.
Uh-huh.
When God gave me that poem about struggle, he had me in a press. You know, I mean, I was trying to buy a house that miraculously God was sending money and stuff where I could buy it. Interest rates was 12%, but they went up to 17% before I bought the house, and then they come back down. But anyway, and I'll have to share that story again sometime. But anyway, you know, God gets you in the press. And what happens in the press?
You get squeezed.
And why do you get squeezed? So that what's on the inside can come outside.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you get squeezed, what brother used to say, you step on a rose, it squeezes sweet. And he basically said, you know, how do you squeeze? If somebody steps on you, you know, well, sometimes you don't squeeze sweet, you squeeze sour. But anyway, the whole point of what I was trying to say is this. Do things in the proper way. You do them in the proper way, and God will bless it. Mm-hmm. He will bless it. And you don't do it in the proper way, it just might not get blessed, you know.
But and, when Jesus was wanting, was it Peter that was not wanting him to go to where? And he told him, get behind me, Satan, you know, right. Because...
You savor the things of man and not of God. That's
yeah.
What I'm telling you. Yeah.
Debbie, mm-hmm. I've been sitting here the whole time thinking of Ray Prinzing wrote a lot of poems too.
Yes. Right.
When we cleaned out Brother Eddie's office, we got a whole bunch of papers every
Ray's
year.
Really good.
Yes.
One of my favorite ones is about communion.
Yeah.
And that word in the Strong means to the use of a thing in common. And if you read down through Corinthians 13, mm-hmm. It's like, it's all about interpersonal relationships.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I heard somebody say, because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And what is remembrance? Remembering.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Joining everybody together.
Yeah. Yeah. Say, remember something.
Yeah. And he said, part of the poem is, it's an outward expression of an inward reality.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you don't see the inward when you gather, but it's going on.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to go back to what Clyde said a little while back. I'd give up everything I know to learn to know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, the truth in that, if you're in your spiritual walk, you have to know what you know before you can find out what you don't know.
You got to want to deny yourself more than anything
else.
Right.
You got to take the baby steps to make the big
steps.
That's
right. You got to do it. It's just like when you were a kid, you know, and you learn how to add and subtract, and they say, well, now take 4 and divide it by 2, and you go, what's that?
Yeah.
You know, you have to learn it.
Fundamentals.
You have to learn it one step at a time.
Right.
I got one thing to say. Do it the right way, you know.
Right.
That's right.
Help people. No. I would say, why would you want to leave this church? Why?
Yeah.
And
well,
people that's been here for years, and they say, well, I want to go somewhere else. I don't know why, but I wouldn't be nice to them.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know, the door you came in,
at the door you, and we'll take you out.
Well,
yeah. I can't be somebody nice that is, well, I'm going to leave. Yeah. How can anybody leave this church?
Well,
it's been done.
Anna, you weren't here when Kathy and I decided that we're going to move to Florida.
Now, wait, isn't that? I don't have my ears.
I said, you weren't here when we decided we were going to move to Florida, Kathy and I.
Oh, well, that's
well, you know, I felt that the Lord was telling me I need to go, so we went. Well, you know what? It goes back to what I just said about you got to, you know something before you start learning this stuff. I learned a whole lot of stuff in Florida that I never knew about myself. And that brought me to the point where when we came back, it was such an easy transition that it was like I had never left, except I knew more.
Grown,
you know, and it's just like you when you first came here, you said, well, I don't know anything. You know a lot.
Well,
you've learned
a
lot.
You said you had been an elder in another church.
But I didn't know a lot.
Yeah.
And the reason why I went to that other church is because my sister went there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love my sister.
Of course.
She's gone to heaven now. And so I went.
Right.
Yeah, I took her. Because nobody would drive her. So I said, sure, I'll drive.
Yeah.
Well, so that's how I started going. But.
You know, Etta, when you just said it right, when we're talking about all this stuff, and Oscar was talking about the ministries, that was your ministry.
Right.
Picking up your sister and taking her to church.
God had
that
you
was
there
your
for
ministry.
A reason. He did. He had you there for a reason.
Well,
yeah.
And you followed it.
Yeah.
I love my sister. And she wanted to go to church. Anywhere, I would take it.
I know it.
How beautiful.
But they didn't know nothing. It's a big church. Nice church. Not big.
Yeah.
Nice church.
I went to a church down in Tennessee where my sister-in-law was going there, and I went into the Sunday school class, you know, and they had a large Sunday school class, a lot of people, a lot of them were very educated. You could tell they were very educated people. So I'm sitting in there and I'm thinking, I'm not going to say anything, I'm just going to keep quiet, and I'm listening. My sister-in-law had told me that the guy who led the class, she says, he's like Jesus.
I mean, whatever.
And we all should be like Jesus, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the things that they're saying and stuff. And I'm thinking, I'm about to bust. I'm going to have to say something. And I'm trying to hold back. I'm doing it. And finally, I said something. And I said a couple of things. And I could see my sister-in-law kind of looking at me like, you know, like she didn't like what I said too much. And you know, I just made a few comments and this and that, and I shared a little bit. We went out into the service, and you'd have thought the pastor was sitting on my knee when I said that. He said everything that I said, everything. I mean, it was all, you know what I mean? And I'm sitting there, and I knew my sister-in-law, you know, was kind of trying to play it down. So I'm sitting there, and I looked over at her, and she looked at me, and she says, well, he's just saying everything you just said. I said, to be honest with you, that should happen a lot.
Yes.
I said, because if the Holy Spirit is moving in people, it should all fit together.
Yes.
It should all go together, you know. And I thought, but you know, that was funny because this was a Baptist church. But I'm telling you what, he wasn't no Baptist preacher. Not the thing he was saying.
According to their tradition.
I'm not in the sense of the things that they normally teach, you know. But I'm thinking, wow.
Well, let's go ahead and close.
Yes.
Brenda, would you?
Father, we just so thank you for the gathering together and the oneness of you and each of us and together as one. And we just ask, Lord, as we go to the next service, that you be glorified as you have been in this service. That, Father, you be in control of all things, that we look to you and that you speak forth that which you would have us to hear, O God, as we praise and worship and look to you, O God. We thank you. We thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.